Welcome to this week's Key Voices, conversations with folks in and around education. I'm Caroline Doherty. This week, I'm joined by Mandy Coulter, founder of Talent Architects and former director of people at United Learning. We have just worked together on an event about successful marketing for trusts and schools. So if you hear any noise in the background, that'll be because the team are tidying up or sirens are going past the window. Anyway, welcome, Mandy.
Thank you. Welcome.
So could you just tell us a little bit about your career to date?
So I'm a HR professional by background, and I've worked in HR in all sorts of different organisations over the years. The NHS, for example, local government. I've worked with major charities. As you said, for the last 7 years, I worked with United Learning, which is now one of the largest school groups in the UK, and a really diverse set of schools from Carlisle to Bournemouth. So that was a wonderful experience, actually, because it gave me the opportunity to work with very, very different schools in different contexts, but a lot of the same challenges. Mm. And as a result of that experience, I love working with schools, and that's what made me decide to set up Talent Architects, which has a really simple mission. I want to help as many schools as possible become great places to work.
Wow, that's a great mission. And given that you, as you mentioned, you've been in education for the last wee while, but coming from outside the sector, do you think there are any particular differences between managing people or HR in schools as opposed to other sectors?
I think maybe the big difference I've seen is that I've worked in a lot of very large organisations that have that infrastructure. So investing, developing leaders, have professional HR functions working alongside those leaders. I think often schools, even if they've been in a local authority or in the early days of an academy trust or a schools group, sometimes don't have that same infrastructure and can be quite small organisations. Mm. And sometimes, therefore, the leaders haven't had exposure to some of that thinking, or if they've got HR, it's quite a low-level function that's doing important work, but not the work that's going to make the school a great place to work. And so for me, trying to help schools kind of with that infrastructure and thinking, my work is with both the leaders, whether that's head teachers or CEOs of MATs, but also with HR professionals so that they are able to offer the support to those leaders in making the school a great place to work.
Yeah, it's something that I reflect on, having worked in and out of education myself and been a governor for 10 years, that if you work in another industry or sector, whatever level of the organisation you're at, you kind of know what HR is and what HR is for and what you get from it or what you complain to them about or these kinds of things. And it interests me that actually you can get a certain way through your career or even very senior in your career at a school and not really have encountered HR in perhaps a positive way or very much at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've told you the story before about, you know, a head teacher who said, "I must have a terrible job, all that firing I do." Yeah. And of course, sometimes moving people on is part of the job, but it's actually a tiny part of the job. You know, HR is about creating positive work cultures. Mm. And if you go into very successful commercial organisations, that is what the HR function is doing. Mm. So it's about helping schools to see that possibility, really, to ask more from the HR people, but also for leaders to really prioritise people leadership, because it is the one thing that will make the biggest difference for pupils.
Mm. And as you mentioned, your mission is to make all schools a great place to work. And we know that schools find it hard to recruit, attract, and retain staff. To what degree do you think there is a kind of recruitment and retention crisis in the sector?
Definitely. I mean, you know, if you look at the data and the evidence about falling numbers of people training to teach, drain from the profession at a time when we probably need more teachers in many parts of the country and budgets are tight. So there's no question there is a crisis. But actually, for me, it's bigger than that, because it's not a crisis tends to suggest there's a short-term pressure. Mm. For me, there's a bigger picture here, longer term, which is about the world of work is changing generally, and people's expectations of working life are changing. Mm. You know, people are wanting to take career breaks, work flexibly, maybe change their career midway through their life. And I think schools are a little bit behind the curve in keeping up with that changing nature of work. I mean, look at young people. 92% of young people want a flexible working environment. Mm. Now, it's not easy to do that in a school. No. But if we don't start to attempt to do that, then we will find that people training to teach continues to be a massive problem. So there's a bigger question for me about not just short-term crisis, but how do we start to modernise the employment offer in the sector so that we wither the short-term crisis, but also beyond that, we become a really attractive place in a very, very changing labour market.
Yes, and I mean, is there any practical advice that you'd give a school that is struggling to either recruit or retain their staff?
Definitely. I think the first thing is to really understand why. Because it is contextual, actually. You know, if you look at some of the evidence out there, most of the issues that affect a school will be down to local labour market or what's going on in that school. It's not down to national DfE policy or whatever. So talk to your staff. You know, talk to your local community. What do people think about you as a place to work right now? And have honest conversations. Survey your staff so they feel confident to tell you your strengths, what you're really good at, what you need to do better. Have a really good look at your recruitment process. I see a lot of schools that treat recruitment like a back office admin function. They're not using social media, they've got poor websites, they're not looking after candidates and being flexible about when candidates can come into school. And that's what people expect now. You know, they will do their due diligence before they step foot in your school. So, and none of those things are expensive. You know, they're not expensive agencies or expensive advertising, but be really creative in how you're marketing your school to potential recruits, and don't try and sell something that you're not. So be honest about the working environment, but do listen to your staff and improve the things that they tell you need to improve, because that's often, retention is just as important as recruitment, otherwise it's a leaky bucket.
And I guess, you know, things, as you say, listening to your staff, even if it's exit interviews, I guess, as
Staff surveys, exit interviews, focus groups. I do all of those with schools, and it just really helps you understand, like I say, what are you really good at, and build on that and promote that, but also what are the little things that perhaps are making working life difficult. And often when I look at that data, they are not difficult things to resolve, actually. It's just nobody's having that conversation and doing something about them.
Great stuff. And we touched briefly on there on the flexible working, and government recently put out some more information for schools to support with flexible working. But, you know, I hear a lot from schools, it's, you know, almost impossible to balance, given the funding challenges that face the sector at the moment. What would you suggest are some simple ways that you can kind of make flexible working work, whatever your situation?
I mean, I think for the school sector, there are some really genuine barriers to this, and some of them are structural, some of them are cultural. So, you know, timetabling is a challenge in secondary. Cost can be a potential challenge. Across both primary and secondary, parental perceptions, and ultimately, of course, you're trying to deliver a great curriculum to the pupils. Then come the cultural barriers, which are, you know, the mindset of, well, it's always been this way, that's how we run a school, we can't possibly do this. And yet I see school leaders that are doing it. It's not easy, but then leadership isn't easy. But the school leaders I see who are really successful at this see flexible working as a talent attraction and retention issue. So the things we were just talking about, it's giving them an edge, actually. And I've seen some great examples where schools have been brave enough to look at whole school planning. So this is being prepared to have conversations with your staff about what their aspirations are for flexible working, but managing expectations.
Yeah.
So not saying, look, we can promise you all of this, but if we know what you're interested in, we can at least then look at that as we're setting the timetable. Yeah. Another great example I know is a primary that actually enabled most of its teachers to go to a four-day week and then use the cost saving to bring in specialists to teach the children.
Wow, okay.
Now, this is a very poor community where that whole cultural capital enrichment piece was so important for the kids. What a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, and as a parent, that is fantastic to know that your child is getting an expert for sport, for languages, for music.
Really? Yeah.
So the leaders I see doing this, I've got the best interests of both staff and pupils and are doing it at a whole school level. A lot of schools worry about making that leap.
Yeah.
What I would say is be honest where you are now. Kind of self-assess yourself and just look at what are the small steps you can start to take.
Yeah.
And the other important point to remember is flexibility should be at all career stages. We have a problem in our sector in that often it stops at middle leadership and that is impacting the career progression of women to senior leadership. And we know the stats about women in headship. So have a really good look at all the pipeline of roles in the school. And actually, leadership is sometimes easier to flex than classroom teaching.
Yeah, and you kind of imagine as well, there's the example that you set from the top of an organisation can reflect very powerfully on people coming through to think about what's possible.
You know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember a head teacher running an outstanding school on a four-day week. You know, it's totally possible, and we've heard there are job share examples at headship.
Yeah.
But those numbers are really, really small. We need more of that, actually, that, you know, it is possible to work in a senior job. If you look across industry now, the fastest growing flexible working jobs are director and senior jobs.
Okay, interesting.
And yet in the school sector, it's almost the opposite. Because we still hold on to that notion of leadership has to be, you know, there at school all day, every day. And sometimes it's just looking at the job and thinking about who can I succession plan to? Who can support me? Because actually that is good for the whole team.
Yeah, it's great development for those people. And it also, you know, it links to the recruitment and retention issue. If you look at the top of an organisation and think, I can't do that job, there's no way, because that person's working crazy hours and can't do anything else, you know. It's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy if those jobs look, you know, almost impossible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and that's why, you know, focus as much on leadership as classroom teaching. I do think that's so important, because actually young people need to see that women lead as well as men leading schools. I think that's so important.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much, Mandy. Is there anything else you'd like to say in closing?
I think the final thing I'd say is that I really believe passionately that the vast majority of the solutions are in the hands of school leaders. We don't have to wait for the DfE to solve things like flexible working. If we're brave and if we lead, it can be done at school level. I really believe that, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I think school leaders are amazing, doing wonderful things, and I want to see them all become talent architects.
Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Members of The Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.